Genesis chapter 14 today, beginning in verse 1. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Eleazar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shineb, king of Admah, Shemember, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these were joined together in the vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. Now, this is a big war. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the first mention of war in Scripture. But it's a big one. 4 Kings, verse 5. And did you notice that one of the places which was attacked was Sodom, where Lot was living? Verse 4. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. When Sodom and her allies rebelled against the nations that had subjected them for 12 years, they were attacked. These nations were going to force Sodom and friends to submit. They were going to teach them a lesson. And I suppose the lesson for everyone is this: those who rebel against authority, whether they like that authority or not, will experience trouble. And that's true at any level. Verse 5. And in the 14th year came Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, and smote the Rephaims in Ashtaroth, Carnaim, and the Zuzims in Ham, and the Emims in Shava Kiriathaim. Now, well, let's just continue to read, because there are more. And the Horites in their Mount Seir, unto El Paran, which is by the wilderness. Verse 7. And they returned and came to Emishphat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites, and also the Amorites, who dwelt in Hazazon Tamar. Now, these nations, as we saw in the previous verse, were headed for Sodom and her allies. And on the way, though, they attacked every village they saw, plundered them, ruined them, and either killed the people or took them away as slaves. And so we see that the impending war is one that good people would probably prefer both sides to lose. It's putrid versus depraved. And Lot and his family are right in the middle of it all. 8. And there went out the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah and the king of Admah and the king of Zeboim and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar. And they joined battle with them in the vale of Siddim, with Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Eleazar, 4 kings with 5. And the vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there. And they who remained fled to the mountain. This battle was fought in the asphalt pits. Asphalt is not fun to walk in when it is slimy. So it must have been worse to fight in. Anyway, it didn't go well for Sodom and her allies. Some of them died in the pits, while others took off running, which left the citizens of their cities defenseless. And, of course, the other nations jumped on that opportunity. Look at verse 11. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. You know, Lot must have enjoyed at least some of the things in Sodom. And what he didn't enjoy and he didn't approve of, he tolerated. And so he was living with the wicked people of Sodom, and he was doing it of his own free will. And when you live in Sodom, you will be captured right along with the Sodomites. And any Christian today who lives like the unsaved, does what the unsaved do, will certainly suffer the same problems the unsaved suffers. 13. And there came one who had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew. Stop there. The Bible says he told Abram. And that spells trouble for those armies who took his nephew Lot. And I know that Lot had been selfish, and Abraham knew that too. Lot didn't deserve his uncle's help. He chose to live in the sinful city of Sodom. But Abram will help him because Abram is gracious. And God is gracious as well. The Bible says that God doesn't give us what our sins deserve. And God expects Christians who have received his mercy to show kindness to others who do not deserve it either. We cannot earn God's kindness, and we should not wait for others to earn ours. 13, last part of it. Well, let's read the whole thing. And there came one who had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, the brother of Eshcol, the brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. Abram was a man of faith, so he knew how to pray. And he knew how to worship God, but he was also a man of action. He used common sense when he trained his men to fight in case something like this came up. So now he's prepared. And God expects us to be sensible and to prepare the best that we can for the things of this life. I'm saying God gives us common sense, and then he works through that common sense to bless us. 15 and 16. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought back again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. You know, if you look at a map, you will see that Abram traveled 140 miles before he caught up with the enemy. And then some escaped, so he and his men had to travel another 100 miles before they caught and defeated them. It wasn't easy, and Lot was not worth it. But Abram saved him and brought him back anyway. And from this we learn that we should be good to those who are not worthy, and we should be good to them even when it isn't convenient. It wasn't convenient for Abraham to chase an army 240 miles riding on the back of a camel. That's never convenient, but he did it. It wasn't convenient for Jesus to die on the cross for our sins either. And many times it will not be easy or convenient for us as Christians to be kind to someone who doesn't deserve it. But kindness is worth the effort, and it's worth the sacrifice. For one reason, one most important reason, it pleases God. 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him, that would be Abram, after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings who were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. And we see that Abram was given a hero's welcome. And he should, because he was a hero. He was a brave man who put his life on hold and put his life in danger to help a nephew who didn't respect him and to help others he didn't even know. And so he's being honored, and that's good. At least the offer was good. It's important for us to honor those who have served us in some way. It's important for us to show gratitude to those who have helped us. 18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. So he was a king of Salem, which is probably an ancient reference to Jerusalem. And he was also the priest of the Most High God. So Melchizedek was a priest of the one true God. Like Abram, he believed in and he served Almighty God. And he was a priest. Verse 19, and he, Melchizedek, blessed him, Abraham, and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And then notice verse 20. And blessed be the Most High God who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Abram gave an offering to the priest Melchizedek. Now, he didn't give his offering out of law, but out of gratitude. Sometimes people use this to validate the tithing of Christians today in the church age. But he didn't give this out of a law, okay? I think 10% is a good benchmark, but it shouldn't be done out of law, because the Bible says that Christians are not under law, but under grace. And even this was not given under law, but out of gratitude. God gave him success, so Abram gave God an offering. God had been nice to Abram, so Abram was nice to God. And you can carry that over to today. God is nice to us. He's certainly nice to you if you're a Christian. He saved you from hell, didn't he? And we should be nice to him. And our offerings are one way we can do that. 21. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to yourself. Now, this morally depraved king of Sodom tries to make a deal with Abram. And I suppose on the surface it sounded pretty good. He said, Abram, you keep all of our possessions which you recovered for us in the war. That'll be your pay. And I'm sure that was worth a lot of money. Notice 22. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Anar, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. You know, a close walk with the Lord enables us to see beyond the surface of things. And God enabled Abram to do that right here. If Abram takes the great wealth which the king of Sodom is offering, then that king may run around telling everyone that he made Abram rich. And Abram will not let that happen. God promised to bless him. God has blessed him. And God will bless him. And Abram will not let anyone steal the credit which God alone deserves. And we'll pick it up in chapter 15 next time.